Tapping World Summit 2016. This is your host, Jessica Ortner. By listening to this interview, you agree to the terms located at thetappingsolution.com/disclaimer. We hope this interview helps you become a healthier and a happier you. If diets have simply left you feeling frustrated and disappointed, then it is time to try a new way. You do have the power to eliminate binging, food cravings, and other forms of emotional eating. And to lead the way today, we are speaking to Brittany Watkins from BrittanyWatkins.com. Brittany's wildly popular teleclasses and online programs are based on 15 years of research on weight loss, self-sabotage, and leading-edge science. These programs teach people how to apply specific techniques to quickly and effortlessly eliminate all forms of emotional eating. As you may know, this is a topic that is very close to my heart, so I am thrilled to introduce you to another voice that's helping others lose weight and feel confident. Welcome, Brittany.
Hi, Jessica.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Well, I have experienced your work before. It is great. And I'd love to start by hearing from you what you believe are some of the biggest weight loss blockers. Why is this a topic that people struggle with for so long?
Well, you know, it was a problem that I struggled with for a really long time. And I think so many people have this experience of, you know, being, you know, super confident, you want to go on a diet, you start a new exercise plan, you're really motivated, and then something happens and you stop going, you start eating foods that you told yourself you weren't going to eat. And it's just like, it's a really frustrating roller coaster. You know, some people can stay on it longer than others, but what I find is that most people, they start to see some success and then they immediately put weight back on. And I know in my case, that was always my case. And I was just really obsessed with this question. Like, why do we do that? Why do we keep sabotaging ourselves? Why is it so hard to stick to a diet? And what I found is that there's 7 psychological weight loss blockers that will cause you to either keep the weight that you currently have on or gain weight. And if you have even one of them, you'll basically never be able, it'll be really, really hard for you to lose weight. And so I started, you know, after working with people, after working on myself for, you know, what feels like a lifetime. And then after starting to work with people, I identify that there are 7 major blockers, and all the people that I worked with had all these, most people had, you know, all 7, some people had 5 or 4, but most people had, you know, between 6 and 7 of these weight loss blockers. And what I found after working with people is once we identified what those weight loss blockers were and removed them, they were able to lose weight. So I developed this system in working with the weight loss blockers rather than, you know, prescribing specific diets or, you know, exercise plans. I just found it so, I found that people were able to stick to diets and they were able to stick to their exercise plan once they removed their blockers. And so I just thought, you know what, we've got to focus on these weight loss blockers first. You know, and then to set them up for success.
Right. So when people would let go of these blocks, they did the work. I just want to get a picture of what the other side looks like, because I don't think that many people who have experienced it, because a lot of people have struggled with their weight for so long. When you get to a place where you're taking care of yourself and you're exercising, where are they? How do they feel about those actions compared to how they used to? Because a lot of people still believe, well, in order for me to be successful, I have to continuously push and punish myself.
No, it's actually completely the opposite. So what I found is that people will fall into 2 categories. So once they remove their weight loss blockers, they'll either lose weight without even thinking about it because their body just has no use for the extra weight anymore. Or they'll feel really motivated and excited about starting a healthy eating plan and exercise routine. And actually, it was I discovered this part of it after about a year of running these big group classes. Is that, you know, I worked through it at a 6-month program where we worked really, really intensely on the weight loss blockers for those 6 months. And about half the people lost weight, which is really good for a weight loss program. There's this other half of people that were kind of stuck. Well, when I followed up with them 6 months after that, I found that they were, the other half of the people were compelled to start a diet and an exercise plan. And actually, they thought that it was the diet and the exercise plan that caused them to lose weight. But they had never been able to stick to a diet and exercise plan their whole life, right? So they removed their weight loss blockers, and all of a sudden, just, you know, they wake up in the morning and they're like, you know what? I want to research this new diet, or I want to research this exercise plan, or I want to start going to the gym. So it actually comes from like a very natural place and a desire for health rather than this punishing, forceful, I've got to do this, you know, I've got to stick to my diet, I can't eat this, I can't eat that. Right. So it just makes weight loss so much easier, and you know, it's definitely not effortless, but it doesn't feel like efforting because you want to do it.
Yes, I absolutely have seen that myself, and I always remind myself and others that if it's not pleasurable, it's not sustainable. So this idea of just there's only so much punishment we can give ourselves. If we don't find pleasure in the healthy lifestyle, then it's so hard. And I can see how I'm imagining it's hard to find the pleasure when we have these weight loss blockers. So how do we know if we are, you know, suffering from one of these blocks and which one we have?
Well, I have a really cool quiz on the homepage of my website that you can visit, and you can take this quiz and it'll tell you what your top number one weight loss blocker is, if you don't already know. So that's one way, but well, let's just talk about a couple of them. People will usually be able to identify right away if they have that or if they don't have that. So the first weight loss blocker that's probably the most common one, like almost everybody on the planet has this one, is something that I call your feelings are stuck in the food. And basically what this is it's, you know, we all have those foods that if it's in the house, we have to eat it. You know, especially people that are trying to lose weight, you know, they're called trigger foods or, you know, craving foods, but it's, you know, most people have several of them. Pizza, pasta, chocolate, ice cream, you know, those kind of staple foods are typically, you know, people typically think, you know, with diets, like, okay, just keep those things out of the house because when you're around them, you can't eat them like you can't eat them like a normal person. You kind of go crazy on them. So what I found is that those foods are actually, if you think about those foods and you think about your earliest memories of eating them, So think about your food. Will you just do this for, you know, the people listening? Think about your trigger food. And then I want you to think about the first time you ate that or some of your first experiences eating that food. Now, 9 times out of 10, people will immediately go back to a memory of eating that food with someone they loved or during a time that was really positive for them. You know, oh, every Sunday I'd go, you know, for ice cream with dad, or I would bake cookies with grandma on Sundays, or, you know, or we'd have big family dinners and there was pasta and pizza and, you know, the whole family was around. And so what I found was that when we have experiences like this with food, our feelings actually get stuck in the food. So what happens is these foods taste so much better to us because what happens is when we eat them, we're immediately transported back to that time and we feel all those really positive feelings of love, of comfort, of relaxation, of, you know, whatever we were experiencing at the time. And that's why we can't get enough of those foods, because you can never get enough of mom's love, right? Mm-hmm. You can never get enough of comfort. You can never get enough security or fun or happiness, right? And so that's why we'll have these certain foods where, you know, we start eating it and all of a sudden we look down and it's completely gone. Or, you know, we keep eating it until our stomach says, no, don't put anything more in me, right? It's because we're trying to actually fill ourselves with this emotion rather than the food. And it's actually really simple to take the feelings out of the food. I have this technique called the ball of light technique where we literally take the feelings out of the food and we give them back to the person that they came from. And what that does is it rewires, it tells your brain that these feelings came from that person rather than the food. So this is a really, really, I mean, I've seen just amazing things happen with just one simple, you know, a couple rounds of tapping on this. one visualization on this, people will go from, you know, craving chocolate every single day to not even thinking about it for months. My dad, actually, when I was first starting to get into this, I was, of course, working with all my family members like we all do when we first start. And my dad had a problem with Baby Ruth's. And so I was doing this technique with him. And, you know, it wasn't until maybe just like a year later or something that he looked at me and was like, you know what? I have not had a Baby Ruth since we did that tapping session. And I mean, you know, it's been like 6 years later and he still hasn't had a Baby Ruth. And I hear that often when we do this technique. So it's so interesting that your brain just has the wrong information. It just thinks that, you know, this food in our mind, when we eat the food, it triggers all of these good feelings. But we don't have to eat those foods in order to feel the good feelings. We can just tell our brain, no, the good feelings came from this person. And just with that one rewiring process, while you do the tapping, your brain automatically rewires those good foods, those good feelings to that person rather than the food. So you could have the food in the house and not touch it, which is really, really amazing.
So there is one of the most common blocks, which is associating a feeling with a food. What's another one that shows up a lot?
Well, the other most common one is something that, you know, it's a little bit of a touchy subject. I think most people don't like talking about it, but I've really felt like as I have worked with women, more people need to talk about this because it's one of the most common weight loss blockers. I find that about 80 to 85% of women have experienced some form of feeling uncomfortable sexually in their body. So this one's called the I'm too sexy blocker. And a lot of women and men, this definitely happens for men too. But a lot of people that I find, you know, when they visualize themselves at their ideal weight, they'll actually feel fear. And the fear will typically come from feeling like, you know, they're going to be violated in some way or nervous about getting more attention from men. So it's actually a really, really interesting weight loss blocker, and it's probably the biggest one. It's the most powerful one. So if you think about it, we know that, you know, we are animals and we know that men are attracted to, you know, these, you know, curvy kind of figures. Well, if you've had something traumatic happen to you, or if you felt unsafe in your body, what's the best way to protect yourself? To not have that curvy figure, right? Or to put more weight on or have this extra padding. So it's super, super common, I find, with women especially that have had some sort of traumatic thing happen to them that they'll add weight on. You know, it could be anything from 10 pounds to 200 pounds. But it's a form of protection from this unwanted attention. And it's really, really important, you know, if that's what I find is that, you know, some women don't really feel comfortable addressing this or they're not ready to. And I find that if you don't address that, you can address all the other weight loss blockers, but if you don't address that one, you won't get results. So it's actually, when I work with people, it's actually one of the first things, if they're comfortable, that I like to work on because it's the most powerful one. And I mean, it makes sense, right? It's a way of us protecting ourselves from danger, really.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And we protect ourselves in those areas. We protect ourselves from having a reason to stand up and be seen, even in other areas of our lives. Yes. You know, we hear so many people say, well, if I lost weight, then I'd have to get on that stage or even apply for a job, which you'd think, but your weight has nothing to do with applying for a job, yet we make it about that. It's amazing how when you struggle with your weight, how you make it the reason for not doing many things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That commonly comes up. And actually that reminds me of another weight loss blocker that's really common. It's called the, I don't want to make them feel bad weight loss blocker. So, what I typically do with this is I have people visualize being their ideal weight and then being surrounded, standing in a circle with all their closest friends and their family and all the people that are closest to them, standing around them saying, wow, you really lost weight, or wow, you look really good, and making a comment, noticing that, you know, how they feel about or how they look. And what I have them do is I just have them go around the circle and take stock of who's upset, you know, who feels what. And not that that means that those people feel that way, but that's our perception of mm-hmm. how they feel, right? So I can't even tell you how many married couples will say, oh, well, if I lost weight, then, you know, I might feel like dating again and I might leave my husband. I mean, what better reason would you have to keep your weight on you know, than to keep your marriage, right? Right. So it makes perfect sense. Or like another really common one response that I hear is, you know, some people that grow up in a family where everybody's dieting or everybody's always talking about their weight or they're complaining a lot. Or sometimes you'll have girlfriends where you guys just, you're always trying the latest diet together. You're connecting about, you know, how bad you feel or how bad you messed up on your diet. And when you look around in that circle, you'll notice that they feel upset or they feel jealous or you don't feel as connected to them anymore. So now all of a sudden you lost the weight, but in your mind, you also lost your tribe. So again, that's a weight loss blocker. Isn't that a good reason that you would have to keep the weight on so you don't have to make the people that you love feel uncomfortable?
Yes. Yeah, this is, it's so important to do that soul searching, to look at beyond just thinking that we were born with less willpower than other people. You know, we act in certain ways out of self-love, out of protection, not because we're wrong or broken, but we're trying to keep ourselves safe. So Brittany, I think a lot of people can resonate with the blockers, even just the few that you've brought up. And I'd love to go into some of the strategies on what we can do to start making a shift. This wasn't planned, but I think we have time for it. And I hope it's okay. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, but you did mention the technique, the easy visualization about separating the food and the emotion. Could we start with that?
Sure. And I want to talk about this first. I want to differentiate because so for me, what I found when I was working with tapping and I was trying to get a hold of my weight issues was that I couldn't figure out what the problem was a lot of the time, right? So these weight loss blockers will cause us to eat when we're not really hungry. So I'm sure if you're listening to this and if you've struggled with your weight, you have probably been conscious enough or you've had a few experiences where you know you're going to the refrigerator, you're eating some food, you know that you're totally overeating, you know that you don't need food, you know that you're actually not hungry, but you're eating anyway. And, you know, this was a really frustrating piece for me. And, This is actually weight loss blockers at play, right? So how do you know which weight loss blocker you have? How do you know what memory it is or what's triggering this event? That was always the struggle for me. So what I found was I found actually in the middle of one of my own binges when I was just so frustrated, I had actually been already started teaching weight loss and I was still eating when I wasn't really hungry and I was just so frustrated with myself and I just felt like such a fraud and such a failure and all these things. And, in that moment, the words of one of my mentors came to my mind and he said, if you want to know what's behind something, stop the behavior and notice what comes up. And so in that moment, I just, instead of, it was a chocolate bar in front of me, instead of eating the chocolate, I pushed it away and I sat back and I started tapping on my karate chop point and I just started asking myself this series of questions. And after about 10 minutes, I looked down at the chocolate bar and I didn't want it. And that had never happened to me before with emotional eating when I didn't know why I was triggered. Cravings. And so the reason that I'm telling you this is because the way that I deal with food issues is that I use different techniques for different problems. So one of the things that I teach in my class is how to identify what you're experiencing right now. Is it a food craving? Is it emotional eating? Is it self-sabotage? Right? So I have these three main techniques that I use for these three things that happen to us when we're struggling with food or when we're, you know, trying to get into better shape. And so craving technique is one thing. The emotional eating technique, which I'm super passionate about just because I feel like it solves this problem that, you know, I struggled with for a long time and I know a lot of people do, is so simple and it's just a quick, simple visualization. But if you use that technique on a food craving like chocolate or one of your trigger foods, you might not have as good of results. So it's important to notice if it's emotional eating or food cravings. And just the way to notice is it a food that you would, do you feel like you're eating out of control or do you feel like, you know, you're eating, you could eat trigger foods out of control. Do you feel like you're eating, are you eating when you know you're not really hungry? And are you eating to like, as an away from feeling like, do you feel like you're trying to escape something? There's something going on in your life that you're trying to get away from, or do you feel like you're trying to move towards something? Is there a good feeling that you're craving, that you're desiring? So usually when it's a good feeling that you're craving, that you're desiring, that's going to be your craving food. When it's a bad feeling or when it's something that you're trying to get away from, it'll be emotional eating. And sometimes you just have to use both techniques and see what happens. So you can't do it wrong. This is a really, really forgiving process, but it works best. You know, I know we have a lot of very conscious people in this community. So, you know, a lot of people are what I call unconsciously competent, where you know that you're eating emotionally and you don't know how to stop it. So that's what this technique works really well for. And you can use it for anything. You can use it for alcohol, cigarettes, shopping, any kind of addictive tendency you can use this technique for. So I'm very passionate about it. It's really powerful.
Perfect. So thank you. Can you walk us through it?
Yeah. So the first thing that you do is it's kind of like it's the emergency technique, right? So it's the technique that you use when you're triggered and you know you've got the chocolate sundae in front of you and you know that you're going to go to town on this thing. You don't want to eat it, but it's really calling you. So if you're not feeling that right now, I want you to think about the last time that you ate emotionally. Put yourself there. You know, were you at your house? Were you at work? You know, what were you doing? Who's around you? What just happened? And just see if you can feel that kind of triggered feeling inside of you. And then look down at the food in front of you, or just visualize what you'd like to eat right now. And notice your draw, notice the attraction, right? So when you're triggered emotionally, this is all going on very, very quickly, right? You don't think like, oh, how am I feeling right now? Am I triggered? What's going on? You just think, I need to eat food, right? So most of you, when you're triggered, you're just going to go right for the food. So you're going to feel the draw. You're going to feel the attraction for the food. Now what I want you to do is take both hands and push the food arm's length distance out in front of you. Sit back, start tapping on the karate chop point. Now this is going to feel really bad. This is probably one of the hardest parts for people. But what's happening right now is we're actually able to access the trauma or the wounding. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you a question and I want you to tell me the very first answer that comes to your mind. Don't overthink it. Don't just go with the very first thing that comes up. Okay. So as you tap on the karate chop point, feel this negative feeling. And I want you to follow that feeling back in time and tell me how old you are. Just go with the very first thing that comes up. You might hear a number, you might see a number, you might just have a knowing, felt sense of how old you were. And now what I want you to do is see yourself at that age. Start tapping through the points. Take a few steps closer to her. Get closer and closer and closer until you can step inside her body, open your eyes, take a look around, and tell me what's going on, even if you think you're making it up. Now, you can say words out loud if that feels good for you. Some people don't want to say anything out loud, okay? And that's totally fine. So just notice what's happening around you and notice how you're feeling about it, okay? Keep tapping through the points and just really allow yourself to feel whatever the strongest emotion is that's up for you right now. It might be anger, it might be sadness, it might be fear. And if there are any words that go along with it, you can say those out loud or you can think them in your mind, like, why me? Or how could you? Or how dare you? Or whatever's coming to your mind. Just keep tapping through the points. And keep focusing on that emotion. And what I want you to do here is I want you to really allow yourself to step into this emotion. So it might be fear, it might be sadness, it might be anger. What I want you to do is boldly step into it, knowing that as soon as you step into this feeling, it will dissipate in a half a second. Just keep tapping through the points. And you just want to keep tapping until you notice your body relax or take a little breath. Now, some people will yawn. Some people will, you know, have different ways of knowing that they cleared something. But all I'm looking for is just a release. It doesn't have to be major, just a little bit of a release. Now, some people might need to stay here for longer. But what I find is that you really don't have to stay here very long, just maybe 30 seconds to a minute max. And then take a nice deep breath and come out of your body, come out of the young body, and now be here within your adult body. Now what we're going to do is you're going to look at the little you at that age, and you're going to step inside this picture with her, and you're going to tell her whatever it is that she needs to know right now. So you're going to be her angel, her mentor, her mother, her confidant, her best friend, whatever it is that she needs right now, you have a special message for her. And most people will do this naturally, but I want to make sure that it's a really positive message, very uplifting. So there's something that only you know that she needs to know or he needs to know in this situation. And so I want you to say that to her, and you can take as much time as you want here. But so I'm just going to be quiet, and I'm going to let you do that, but keep tapping through the points as you do this. There might be a lot of tears here at this point. You know, this is usually when we do another big release. And so just keep tapping here, and you can, you know, pick your little self up, put her in your arms or him in your arms, and just hold them and just let them know how much you love them. And let them know they're safe and that they're perfect. And some people like to stay here for a while, so sometimes your little self needs to, you know, be spoken to a lot and needs to know a lot of things. So you can stay here for as long as you want. But now the next part is calling in the higher energy. So some people like angels, some people like light. I'm just going to use white light, but I've also used angels, and I love working with angels, but some people don't like angels. So what we're going to do here is we're going to call in the white light. So we're just going to imagine now this big column of white light comes down from the sky and just wraps you and your younger self. Wrapping you in this white light, just feel how comforted and how powerful this white light is. Feel how protected and safe you are. And now what I want you to do is stop tapping, and we're going to imagine that there's a huge shower head that just came down from the sky, and it's sitting over you and your young self. And we're going to turn this shower head all the way on to the right. And all this white light is going to be coming down all through you, inside of you, clearing out anything that's no longer serving you, collecting all the negative thoughts, beliefs, emotions, anything that we weren't able to clear with tapping. Just allow that white light to gather up all of that stuck energy. See it washing through your little self and feel it washing through you. And I almost like to hear little sounds like bloop, 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 bloop. As it goes through every single part of your body, every single cell, just gathering up whatever's not serving you anymore. Bloop, 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 bloop. And then the ground is like this huge vacuum cleaner, and it just sucks all that yucky stuff into the ground. So I like to do that a few times, and it feels so good. So just feel it. Suck that into the ground. And just take a nice deep breath and just feel how clean you feel and feel how relaxed you are. And now what we're going to do is we're going to turn the shower head on even higher. So it's going to be even stronger this time. And now the white light is going to be filling you up. So all those little parts and pieces and little spaces in you that we just cleared out, we want to backfill those parts and backfill every single ounce of you, every single little part of your body. So just feel as that white light comes running down through your head. It's filling up your entire head and your neck. White light running through your shoulders, filling up your arms, filling up your chest. This is the highest vibration that could ever possibly exist in the universe. filling up every single little part of your body, filling up your stomach and your hips and your legs, your calves and your feet. So just stand here for a minute and just feel your entire body filled with this white light. Just feel how good it feels to have this white light pulsing through every single part of your body. And it's actually filling you up so much that it shoots out of your fingertips, it shoots out of your toe tips, it spills out over your heart and shoots up the top of your head. So just feel yourself here like a human fountain, fountaining this white light. And look down at your younger self and see them fountaining this white light also. And just look at the expression on their face. Notice how happy they are, how safe they feel. And take a nice deep breath. And some people love to stay here for a while, and I sure do. So if you want to stay here for longer, by all means, go ahead and do that. The very, very last part, and the way that we close this up, is that we want to make sure that we integrate this healing. So what I like to do is I like to look down at that younger part of me, and I'll shrink her down into a little teeny tiny bite size so I can place her in my heart. And when I put her in my heart, I immediately feel her getting bigger and bigger and bigger and older and older and older until she becomes me as the adult that I am, with this new understanding and this new way of seeing that situation.
That's a beautiful process. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
You're so welcome.
And I just want to ask some questions about it. Now that we, you know, we're able just to close our eyes and tap and have that full experience, I want to break it down for a moment. And just to be clear, as we're visualizing all of this, we're tapping at the same time. Is that right?
Yeah. The only time I stop tapping is when we do the light visualization, because I find that for me, that distracts me. Some people might like to do that, so that's optional. I just say whatever works best for you, but sometimes I find that the light thing doesn't work as well for me. And that's a key piece, because it changes your vibration. It lifts you kind of out of the way that you were feeling. Right. So just play with that. So you can keep tapping if that feels good, but I usually stop tapping. So.
Right. And could you break down just some of the major chunks, the major steps that you just brought us through, so we could, you know, take some notes and give ourselves that experience again in the future?
Yeah, totally. Well, there's an audio that we're including with this that actually has me talking you through that process three times. So what I find is that some people will go from like a 10 to a 2 in just one round, and other people will go from like an 8 to a 5, or, you know, they'll just drop a few points. So sometimes what I find is that you have to do that two or three times to really, like, you know, depending on how strongly you want the food, to really, you know, get yourself down to a zero. So sometimes you have to repeat that process. So I have an audio that you guys will have that you'll be able to give to everybody that's walking them through. It's about a 15-minute audio, and it's walking them through three rounds of that. So they'll have that. But yeah, let's talk through it, because I know that we've got a lot of practitioners and people, and I would love for people to start using this in their work with other people. And, it's so powerful. So the very first thing that we did is we identified the feeling. So most of the time, if you're using it when you're triggered, you're already going to be triggered. But if you're wanting to, it's the best time to use it is when you're triggered. So I've had people, you know, try to use this when they're not really triggered and just think about, and it's good for a demonstration, but it's much better if you use it when you're actually triggered. But if you're in a session with somebody, you want to have them think about the last time that they felt triggered, put them back in that scenario. They'll start to feel triggered. Or if you're working on yourself, you'll start to feel triggered when you think about, you know, the thing that happened or that situation that you were in. And then you want to feel the desire. So a big part of this is feeling the attraction. So noticing that you want to eat food right now. Then the next part is pushing it away. So now what we're doing is we're doing the opposite of what we actually want to do. So I have to push, like, with both hands, arm's length distance in front of me. Sometimes I have to tell myself, no, I can't have that, or I'm not going to have that, or I'm not going to eat that, or something, right? You're telling yourself that you're not going to eat the food by pushing it away. Sit back, start tapping on the karate chop point. As you sit back, you're going to feel really bad. OK, Okay. That feeling, the eating the food is covering up the bad feeling. So when you push it away, now you're going to have to sit in that bad feeling. And that's when you do the, that's when you just ask yourself the question, okay, how old am I right now? And just allow your subconscious mind to answer for you. So most people, I mean, I've worked with doctors and scientists and people who are very analytical and have never done any personal development work at all. And every single time they will tell me a number. So, you know, some people get kind of stuck there. So I just say, you know, even if you think you're making it up, tell, like, you know, just guess. So if you have, if you're one of those people that has a, you know, a little bit of a hard time coming up with that, I always say, just guess, just go with whatever comes up. So then once you have your number, you start tapping through the points and you see yourself, you see that, that person, you see yourself at that age in front of you. Now, depending on what happened, it might be hard or easy for you to get into your body. That's why you start tapping through the points, because as you get closer to your body, so I then instruct you to take a few steps closer to her and get closer and closer and closer. So as you get closer to your body, the emotions about whatever happened are going to get stronger and stronger. So if this is a really traumatic thing, which, you know, obviously you will, you know, I always recommend working with a practitioner to work through anything that's really traumatic. And most of the time when you're doing this, nothing will come up if it's something that's too traumatic for you to deal with. What I find is that, you know, if it's something really big that you need to work with somebody else, sometimes you just won't feel anything or you won't get anything or it'll be a blank. That's usually a sign that it's something really big that you actually have to work with somebody one-on-one to, it's going to be safer for you to work with somebody on that. But most of the time, it's just going to feel really scary as you take a few steps closer to her. So as you walk, as you are walking through, as you're walking to your body, sometimes if you need to tap for longer to release the anxiety about getting in your body, that's okay. You can take your time to get there. But then once you do, really get into your body and look through your own eyes and then just kind of notice and feel around what's going on. And you'll feel it because you're going to be in your body. And so I just always like to identify the top emotion at that point. So what is going on right now? And I always give myself permission to just make it up. Sometimes people will come up and they'll remember things that they could never remember consciously. But if I didn't give them that permission to just make it up, they wouldn't be able to access it and they wouldn't clear it. So say, even if you think you're making it up, what's going on right now? So, you know, just notice what's going on and then notice how you're feeling about it. And then as you tap through the points, just by identifying how you feel, you're going to start to release the anxiety. And I gave you kind of the cue at the end, like, you know, feel this emotion, knowing that this is the very last time you'll ever have to feel this way. Because once you really step into this emotion, it goes away in just literally a second. And so, you know, I really give people the courage to really feel whatever is going on. And after about, you know, 10, 20, 30 seconds, you'll notice that you kind of take a sigh or you take a breath. And I don't do any of the 0 to 10 scale or anything like that. I just keep tapping the whole time. So you don't have to know what your number is or anything like that. Just notice when you just kind of sigh and you take a breath. That's when you know that you're done. Get to step out of your body. Become the adult again. And then as the adult, having whatever perspective you have now as the adult, step inside this picture and talk to your little self and give her or him whatever it is that she really needed in that moment. So maybe she just really needed to be told that everything was going to be okay or that she's safe. Or if she's in a bad situation, maybe you take her out of it and you go, you know, take her to a park and play with her, or you go do something fun together. Or you just give her a perspective shift about, you know, what happens. Actually, your whole life changes and it's so much better. And, you know, or whatever it is, you'll know the perfect words. So that's why I don't really feed you those words. You'll know exactly what to say to your younger self. You'll know exactly what she was needing or he was needing in that moment. And then that's really it. So then you just, you know, talk to her, and this is usually when people will cry a lot and they'll have like a big perspective shift here. And then we bring in either the angels or the light and we just do the healing work and the clearing. You know, often we can't, because we don't do the 0 to 10 and we're not doing all the different emotions, we'll have some stuck energy and we might still have some funky stuff that's still, you know, that we're still feeling. And so I just find that the light just clear, the light in the vacuum just kind of clear all of that out. And then, you know, filling up every single part of my body with high vibration, with white light, golden light, you know, whatever it is that you want to fill yourself up with, and becoming this human fountain of really high vibration light will just take you to this place where you'll come back to the food and either you'll want it much less, so you'll be able to do another round of this. If you still have, you know, a 3 desire for it, I would say do it again. But you'll go from a very high number to a very low number just by doing that.
Yes.
Just by doing this one process. So is that
yes,
enough?
It's definitely clear. And the great thing about this audio is that people can come to it again and again. And yeah. You're also providing us with that, with the experience in the other audio as well. So between your explanation and then taking us through it 3 times, we are getting a lot out of this. So I'm really grateful for this process. As people move on forward and they begin to look at their relationship with food and their body differently, what is one thing that you hope that they remember on this journey of exploration and letting go?
You know, people always say that you have to love yourself in order to lose weight. And that really frustrated me for a long time. And what I found at the end of that was that is actually true. And the way to get there is by removing your weight loss blockers. The more you do this, like if you think about what we did tonight, you know, most of the time we're going to heal some sort of traumatic thing that happened. And since, you know, we're in the Tapping Summit, we're learning about specific events and how traumatic events and things that have happened in the past shape our lives and shape our self-worth and our self-confidence. You know, and so by healing the past and by using this technique over and over again, you're going to be healing all these little mini wounds and these traumas that are shaping your reality and that are shaping your self-confidence. So, you know, while it's so simple to say, well, just love yourself, it's not that simple, but it can be when you start to heal the wounds. So I say, look at your emotional eating or look at your food cravings as a gift, as a blessing. They're giving you a window of opportunity to heal some aspect of yourself that will make you feel so much better, so much happier, so much more grounded with yourself, you know, once you clear them out. We have so many women that go through my programs that at the end of this 6 months, you know, of transformational tapping, do a lot of this stuff. They will look around and go, oh my gosh, like I have such a better relationship with my partner, or I feel like I want to date again, or, you know, I'm going to ask for that raise because I'm not being paid enough. Their self-confidence has shot through the roof. And I cannot think of a better gift to give yourself than more self-confidence. And this technique is just one of the most powerful ways that I have found to get there. So
thank you so much for being so generous with all of this information. We really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. I'm really happy to be here.